ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi, this is Rabbi Garfinkel live from our sukkah in Chicago, Illinois, with a live studio audience. Wow. Breaking the sound barrier over there. Yes, happy sukkahs to everyone. It has been a little while. Thank you all for reaching out and telling me how much you're missing Monday Motivation. It gives me motivation to continue this amazing podcast week after week. The way the holidays fell out was a little challenging to produce these podcasts, and it continues to be challenging as we go through next week in Simplest Torah. But we are in Sukkot right now, truly an unbelievable holiday. I don't know, we were talking about, we had an incredible group of Project 613 young professionals over. Many of them was their first experience in the sukkah, and certainly eating a meal in a sukkah, and it was absolutely incredible. Over 26, 27, a lot of young professionals here, about 40 people overall in the sukkah, and it was incredible. So I hope your sukkah is going well. Definitely one of the top underrated holidays in the Jewish calendar. So find yourself a sukkah, find yourself a family that does sukkahs, and invite yourself over, for goodness sake, okay? Because that's what it's all about, and it's really a truly special holiday, and that's what we want to talk about today. And, you know, usually we do the Torah explanation part, and then we do the story. We're going to flip the script today. How's that sound? We're going to start with a story about how special Sukkot is. And not only how special Sukkot is, but how it reminds us that we are an eternal people. We are a people that lives forever. Against all odds, against all probabilities. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, as an undergraduate history major at Stanford University, there were many questions about Jewish history that the professors asked from every angle, cultural, social, military, political, economic. But there was one salient question that they never, ever asked, and that was, how in the world are we still around? The Jewish people, who have been much maligned and much abused over the millennia, especially the last 2,000 years since we have not been in our own homeland. But somehow we're still here. And we not only survived, but we thrived. We were able to make such incredible contributions to humanity, to every field of endeavor, and most certainly and most importantly to the moral realm. You know, just finishing up the holiday, checked out the NFL scores, and the reason why there are NFL scores and teams are playing with a football in a stadium and not throwing slaves to lions is because the Jewish people won the argument. Thou shalt not murder applies to everyone. And therefore, it's incredible that, you know, the gladiators of yore, which were killing people for fun and entertainment, now we just have to suffer through bad football teams or good football teams. And we say, oh, that team really killed them. It's only an expression and it's not literal. Why? Because we won that battle of history, that moral battle of history. We taught the world that murder is not correct. The world did not always know that lesson. Okay. And so we see that we're an eternal nation, and nowhere more do we see it than with the celebration of Sukkot, which, again, I'm live here recording from, I guess it's a contradiction, live recording, but I am personally recording in my sukkah right now. And I'd like to share with you the following story. So here we go. This story, you know, there are many stories. You know, Rabbi, how do you know it's true? Well, I know this one is true because it happened to me. And here it goes. So in my second year of yeshiva. I had done 2 years at Stanford University and then took a little time out for 1 year and then a second year. Don't worry, I made my mom happy and my dad, and I came back and I finished. Okay, but in that second year of a break in yeshiva, we had a little break from yeshiva, Bein HaZmanim they call it, and we went on a trip with Tiul, some of the buddies and I. We went to the Israel Museum. Now, many of you might have been to the Israel Museum because predominantly, it's actually an amazing museum, but predominantly for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay, they have a, looks like a white lid of a jar. That's the building, looks like that. And it is, houses the Dead Sea Scrolls. Actually houses a replica of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but I digress. And many times in life, you're on your way to what you think the purpose is, and something else on the way becomes the purpose of your journey. And that's what happened here. We're walking in a narrow hallway to get to the round circular room where the Dead Sea Scroll replicas are. And something catches my eye. What catches my eye is a letter that they have from the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Now, Bar Kokhba Rebellion goes back 133 to 136 of the Common Era, which is basically right after the destruction of the temple, 70 of the Common Era. So you're looking about 60-ish years after the Romans destroyed our temple, we had a massive rebellion. And it was led by Bar Kokhba, and even the great Rabbi Akiva was a proponent of this rebellion and saw greatness within Bar Kokhba. Unfortunately, he ended up dying and not being the Messiah as Rabbi Akiva had thought slash wished. And the final battle in Beitar and the entire city ran with blood. It was a very difficult ending. But in that few year battle, you imagine these ragtag Jewish soldiers fighting the Roman legions. You imagine the ultimate David versus Goliath story. And there was a letter that the soldier sent from the front to Central Command. Now, I don't remember the exact thing, but it went a little something like this. Dear Home Command, we need food. We need ammunition, and we need, drumroll please, we need the four species. Excuse me? Yes, you heard right. They're fighting the Roman legions, and they request food, understandable, check. Ammunition, check. And the four species. Now, what are the four species? The Dalid Minim. These are the Lulav, the Esrog, the Hadassim or Myrtle, right? And Aravas, which are the willow. These are the four special vegetative entities that we wave on Sukkot. And it's a mitzvah from the Torah to wave these on the first day of Sukkot. And actually, rabbinically now, after the temple was destroyed, we wave them 7 days, all 7 days of Sukkot. Okay, so fantastic. But I have a question. And it blew me away. I'm here, I don't know, 20-year-old kid at the time. I won't tell you how many decades ago that was. And excuse me? You're fighting the Roman legions and you have nothing better on your mind than to, want to shake the four species? Is that really what is going through your mind? And I was totally blown away. So I get back to yeshiva, and I was just so excited. And I went to speak to my Rebbe, and maybe it was the next day, whatever it was. And I said, Rebbe, you are not going to believe this story. And I told him exactly what happened in the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, and there's Jewish soldiers, and it was right after, they were. You know, whatever, they wanted Dalid Minim. Are you kidding me? They're fighting the Roman legions. And his reaction was not what I thought it was. The Rebbe, a blessed memory, was Rav Mitch Chaifetz, originally of Cleveland, and then of, well, you'll hear Kibbutz Yavna of Israel, and of blessed memory. May this merit of this story be in a merit for the elevation of his soul. And he looks at me, not with the, wow, Shalom, that's so cool, what a great story, kind of like he was a fun personality, and I thought that that's what he was going to tell me. But he looked at me, his face turned pale, and he said, Shalom, I have a story for you. And the story goes a little something like this. He says, Reb Shalom, the year was 1973. 50 years ago, by the way, to the date, this is now me speaking, 50 years ago was it's now the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, which is a little bit of the motivation for me sharing this story. 50 years ago, how many Jewish Americans remember the Yom Kippur War, and how many have learned about it? Unfortunately, I think the numbers are dwindling, which is why I want to tell this story so much. And he says, Shalom, I got to tell you a story. The year was 1973, and it was Yom Kippur, and on Kibbutz Yavna, which was a religious kibbutz, which means there was no machinery working, no cars, no nothing. And what happened? We see Israeli army jeep rush up, drive up to the synagogue, and an officer gets out and tells all of the men who are soldiers to break their fast on order of the chief rabbinate, because Israel has been attacked by Syria and Egypt in a surprise sneak attack on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. And he said, he described the pandemonium, the bedlam, husbands leaving, women, children crying. Can you imagine this self-sacrifice, people? Can you imagine what it meant, what it means for these holy Jewish people to go out and fight for our homeland, for our people, for our nation, and the wives who support them, and the children who are waiting daily for their abbas to return? Truly incredible. And he said it was a whirlwind, and they had a bus to take him down to the Sinai, and before they knew it, they were in their tanks, and it was, he said, Reb Shalom, it was the bloodiest battle, and he described some of the stories to me, which I will not at this point share with you, but needless to say, they were gory and difficult to hear. And he said, after a few days, we kind of like got our bearings, the tide of the war started shifting, and Israel got its legs back under itself. And they had a few moments to rest. And he said, we're on the back of a flatbed, like, you know, army type of transport truck. And they were looking up, and all of a sudden, it dawned upon him and his friends that it's almost Sukkot, because they were attacked during Yom Kippur. And it was almost Sukkot. And therefore, they messaged back, sent a message to Home Command. We need food. We need ammunition. And we need the four species. Jewish soldiers separated by 1,840 years, give or take, with the same request, fighting some against the Romans and some against the Egyptians. But it didn't make a difference, because they're Jews fighting for our people, fighting for our eternal nation. And at that moment, I realized the answer to my original question. Don't these people have anything better on their minds? The Jews fighting the Romans and the Jews fighting the Egyptians, don't they have something better on their minds to think about at this moment? And then I realized that's exactly the point, is because these Jews knew exactly what they were fighting for. They're fighting for the ability to be Jewish in our homeland, to fulfill our Torah in the homeland, to live the eternal Jewish values of who we are. and are willing to leave their wives and children and risk their lives and many thousands of them to give their lives, not for nothing, but to wave the four species, to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, that we take our crops, our produce, our bumper crop, our success. And what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to wave in recognition, wave it in all directions, forward, to the right, to the back, to the left, up and down. It says, Shem, you control everything. You're the one that controls the water that brings life to these resources, to these vegetative entities. You create the clouds. You create the human energy. You give us all of our physical strength to be able to till the ground and to be able to harvest it. And you give us the ingenuity to be able to use the raw ingredients of this world to create and to produce. And therefore, Sukkot, which is our real harvest festival. And we say, this harvest, Hashem, this is you. You did this. We went through the motions and we put in our human effort, our hishtadlut, our human effort. But Hashem, you are the one that brings results, and you are the one that helped me do my due diligence to bring those results. It's all you, Hashem. That's why we're waving the four species. And the soldiers in the times of Bar Kokhba understood that, and that's what they were willing to give their lives for. And the brave soldiers during the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, the same thing. We are fighting because we are an eternal nation on an eternal land with an eternal Torah, with eternal values. Folks, the story never ceases to blow me away. I read another story about Jews, Ger Hasidim, a Hasidic group that in 1909 were conscripted in the Russo-Japanese War for the Russian army. And in the middle of the war, they're digging a hole to be able to put some leaves over the top, some branches, and make a sukkah and eat in the sukkah in the middle of a battlefield. Is it crazy? Read a story now about the Weizener Rav here, who is the great rabbi here in Chicago, who built a sukkah in the middle of Auschwitz. Why? Just because. And he was able to get three out of the four species and wave them in the middle of Gehenna, in the middle of that hell. These are Jews that are plugged in. And I looked out on that Friday night and I saw all these beautiful young professionals. These beautiful young professionals who've come. They wanted to connect. They want to connect to this eternal nation and this eternal people who are robbed of the ability to have a quality Jewish education, who are robbed of the ability growing up to feel the joy and the happiness of what it means to live a sukkah. And we're coming back. We're coming back better and stronger and more vibrant. And I know that there are Jews that are checking out, but it's not their fault. And that's what fires me up and what fires me up to continue doing Project 613 and to have our downtown center. And it's unbelievable the potential that what we're going to be able to achieve, God willing, with Hashem's blessing. And so I hope that this story inspires you and motivates you to find a sukkah, because Sukkot goes all week. It goes all week. And then we go into Simchas Torah, which is an unbelievably beautiful holiday celebrating the fact that we got the Torah that gave us the direction and the values that we have. So people, plug in, find a sukkah, make it happen, and be proud that you are part of an eternal people, an eternal nation, because of our eternal Torah. God bless. Have an amazing Sukkot. Look forward to seeing you again very soon. I hope next week. Right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivations.